Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to be back. Well, when you came out of your door, did you breathe easy? The air is better. So you know what's going on, right? In the past few 2 weeks, what came to your mind? What have you learned? To me, I reflected. Okay. With many things happening around us, what do we have? Fire? What else? Hurricane? Maybe you know somebody whose house is now gone, or somebody maybe by fire or by flood. Florida, Houston. And when you look at the news, what, all these sexual scandals, it's just like, it's suffocating. It's just too many, okay? But then what does it make of us? What do you do? I take the time to reflect. I think as Christians, there's one thing God wants us to do, and that is we know how to read the times, okay? Well, you don't just look. Do you really see? Okay. You know what's going on. Can you tell what time it is? Okay. Jesus once said, look, it's time for harvest. Okay. Or when you see, you just say, ah, everything is just hopeless. A man said, okay, you went out hunting. Did you see the lion? I didn't see any. I said, yeah. If you're not looking for a lion, you won't see the lion. That's very true. What do you see? Can you read the times? When you look, what are you looking at? And what do you see? So I think that is one thing that God wants Christians to do, that we are forewarned. He doesn't want to scare us. In fact, he always say, be prepared. Okay? Be prepared. And so be thankful, you know, when you can now breathe easy. Okay. Today, we're going to do the second church, Smyrna. The first one was Ephesians, right? Smyrna. And Smyrna actually means sweet smell, sweet fragrance. Smyrna, there's a myrrh in the middle. That's the myrrh. The myrrh. You remember where did the myrrh come from in the Bible? Where did you read it? Ah, when Jesus was, right? The kings, the magi, okay? They brought gifts, and one of them was the fragrance myrrh, okay? So Smyrna, that will help you remember, okay? It's sweet fragrance. And actually this place is, it started like 1000 BC, small village, and later on it reconstructed and it became the first planned city. You know, the city with a plan. It's like a modern city, you plan it. This is the first one in the ancient times. And it was so beautiful, so beautiful. And they're not just first in that sense. There's also first when it comes to being loyal to Rome. They're so loyal to Rome, okay? And you know, Rome, of course, it's a lot of idols there, okay? But one of the idols that they have is emperor worship. Their emperors are worshipped as deity, okay? And Smyrna is so loyal, so that one time when they had a contest to build a temple to the emperor Tiberius, guess who won? It's just like Olympics is coming to LA because they won, something like that. Smyrna won. They won so that they get to build the temple to Tiberius. That's how good they are. Okay. But in this place is the church. Okay. And the church, the scenario is different. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. Flipping your Bible, and I hope you have your Bible. Do you have your Bible? Yes?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And if you have your whatever phone that you have, please go to the Bible and stay there, okay? Don't roam around. Okay, so verse 8, to the church of Smyrna, okay? And it says here, this church is going to be introduced to you as when you look at verse 9, the church is what? Jesus said, I know your affliction and your poverty. You see that? Oh, rich, beautiful place, winner in many areas. It seems as if the more they are victorious, the more it's difficult for Christians. Because the two worlds are different. Okay. When you have the rise of idolatry, adultery, materialism, where would a Christian go? They will be persecuted. And that's also going on in our world. Okay? And so I introduce to you three P. Okay? Poverty is number one. Second one, persecution. Persecution. Okay? They will meet persecution. And then there's another one in here. So that's the affliction they have. In you go down to verse 10, it talks about prison. You see those three P's? Poverty, persecution, prison. And you might think, oh, that's kind of far from me. Okay? Are we really that far? Okay. So we're going to take a look. Okay. Poverty. Have you ever taken some time in your life to think about poverty? If I ask you, how do you define poverty? What do you think of? Probably you will think about a person who, you know, is just sleeping there in the corner, okay, the homeless, right? That might be. Or it could be you go into this area, the city, you know, so crowded, okay, and parents have to work three or two jobs, okay, just to make ends meet, right? It's poverty. Now, here, the word poverty is dokeia. I just say it, you don't have to write it down or what. It's a Greek. But there's another word, which is penia. The word here used is not penia, which means that you just can't afford to be full or to be superfluous or to be extravagant or to be real nice living. You just have enough. That's penia, okay? Poor in that sense. And probably you see that a lot here. They can afford a car, but not a Mercedes. Okay? So that's penia. And maybe some of us are here. Okay? And then the other one is tokia, which is the word used here, poverty. And this means I can't afford anything. Anything. That's how poor they are. Okay? So it is not just, you know, just barely making it. Yeah. And yes, I am a missionary, and I have seen people like that. Okay. In fact, I grew up in the Philippines. You know Philippines? Mm-hmm. And in the Philippines, how do we define poverty? You will have to miss a couple of meals a day. That's poverty. Okay? You cannot even line up to get food from the church pantry. There's no such thing. Right? That's poverty. How do they eat? They go to the garbage. That's it. And I've seen videos of them going to the garbage, just recycling things, and then really eating them. They recook it, and then they eat. Crabs from maybe when you go to Kentucky, you know, those things, sometimes you still have some flesh, you know, attached to the bone. They scrape those. They cook it, and then they eat it. So that's poverty. And it says here, they have affliction. That's the number one S, suffering. In my Bible, it's suffering. And I give you three S's. Suffering. Second one is, in that the same verse, slander. You see that verse, word, slander? And the third S is the same verse, Satan. Those were the three causes. So you have poverty, persecution, and prison, and then the causes, you have suffering, slanders, and Satan himself, which is behind all of these things, right? Told you, we cannot just look. We have to really see. Do you see behind everything? Oh, who is your real enemy? Who is the real enemy? Well, we'll get to that. So then, suffering, I can give, just want to say something about suffering. There's some kind of suffering that just comes to you, like Houston, okay? Like the fire. Have they found the person who started the fire yet? Not yet, right? But they said that it's not because of a lightning. Okay? It's man-made, probably. Okay? They haven't found the person. See, it just comes up upon you. It's not because you didn't take care of your house, you know, you didn't take care of electricity. It's because of it just come upon you. And you don't know, one day you get up and then the doctor says you have fourth stage cancer. It just comes up upon you. Okay? But there's another kind of suffering where you know you have to suffer, but you still do it. You know that? That is what the suffering of Jesus is. He didn't just come to earth and say, oh, I have to die? Oh, they want my life? No, he wasn't surprised, okay? He knew he had to bear the sins of the world, and he came. That kind of suffering. And as Christians, do you know that becoming a Christian, being part of Christ, Jesus said, you have to suffer as I did. Do you know that? Do you know that? And that is the suffering that we're talking about here. And as Jesus said, if you want to follow me, what? Deny yourself, carry your cross, and then follow me. It's a decision. And these people are like that in Smyrna, okay? They had all the temptation to just, well, why don't I just join them? Why do I have to be so poor? Okay, but it's because they identify with Christ. And then we go to the second one, which is they go through persecution and people who are slandering them. Probably recently you have seen how some people are trying to make it hard for Christians to sell their stuff. The photographer who didn't want to take the picture of the gay couple, and the baker who didn't want to bake a cake for the gay, okay? And just 2 weeks ago, it came out the Satanist church, they plan to ask them to bake cake for Satan. And why would they do that? That's what you call, you may say, planned attack to bring you down. Okay. And they said it. It's not us, you know, just kind of criticizing them. No. They said that that's what they're going to do. Okay. So it is called slander. What is the meaning of slander? It says, I know your affliction and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but they are a synagogue of Satan. Okay. So these people, in that time, they are actually Jews. Okay. But then, they are not real. And slander in those days, you may say slander is when somebody bad-mouths you. Say something bad about you, spread rumors about you, and make your life difficult. Okay. So they say, oh, these people, they are homophobic, they are racist, and things like that. And they are aiming it at Christians, not just anybody, but at Christians. And this is the point that we're talking about here. Christians are being attacked, okay? In those days, there are at least a few lies that have been spreading around. One of the things that they said was, because Jesus said, I am the flesh and the blood, that you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood for the Lord's Supper, they spread the rumor that the Christians are cannibals. Because the Christians, they gather together for love feasts, they spread the rumor that says, oh, they meet in those, you know, little rooms, and they have those hedonistic orgies, sexual orgies, because they have love feasts. Especially because in the old, in those days, excuse me, in those days, they when they greet each other, they kiss like this. You know? So they say, see, they are indecent. And then in that kind of a situation, imagine just like it's happening now, when a person becomes a Christian, sometimes the family will what, kick them out. It breaks the family, right? And so they turn it into a slander and said, yes, these Christians, they are family splitters. They split you. Don't let them come. They'll split your family. Things like that. Okay? So with that, okay, they spread rumors. Do you have a feeling that we are in the same boat with them? Huh? Yes. Okay. So our good intention, they cast us in a different light. And that's a slander. Okay? That means when the Ten Commandments said what? Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's what it is. You're a false witness. You make up false stories. Okay? And those are the lies of Satan. There's one person you may know. I don't know who is your hero. I have here the picture of Wormbrand. Have you heard of him? Okay. I think his book came out in 1967. It's Tortured for Christ. That is the first book. I'm not that old, but I read that book, Tortured for Christ. And in November 5 is the, International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted. Okay? And so they came out with this DVD with a picture of him. So he was tortured for Christ. Yeah? In prison. Okay. And another one, I would like to mention his name is Polycarp, because Polycarp was in Smyrna, the church, okay? And he was put on a stake and burned, you know? Like you have just a pole, and then you're tied to the pole, okay? And then they have woods, okay? They light it up, and then you're burned. That's how he died. It's one... AD 155. So he was like 80 something years old, close to 90. Okay. And he's that old, and yet they persecuted him as if an old man can lead a revolution, you know. But all he was preaching is Christ, right? Mm. So then even the captain or the director of the prison said, is it so difficult for you to just say Caesar is Lord? Why don't you just say that so they don't have to die? Because the director, who is not a Christian, he really likes, you know, Polycarp. He said, I don't want you to die. The Polycarp says, in all my years, my Lord has not done anything against me. How can I turn against him? I cannot. Okay? And then when he was up there, they wanted to harness his hands and feet. And then he says, I am not worthy to be killed like my Lord. Okay? Or just let me stand there. I'm willing, and it's okay, I will not move. Don't be afraid that I'm going to move or whatever because when the fire burns me. Okay? That's how Polycarp died. And it's still happening today, as I said, you know, you have Rembrandt, and I'm so happy that you pray for the persecuted, like once, you said once a week you have one, right? So this is Jatia, Pastor Jatia, and he's 90 years old. And he has gone through it also, okay? And he's prepared to suffer. You remember what I said about suffering, the second meaning of suffering? You know it, but you still go for it. Okay, you're willing to do it. Okay, I'm not saying he's asking for it, but he knows that's part of it, and he's willing to do it. Okay, and that is Jatia's story. One time when I was teaching in China, and after a few days, I realized all of those students, all of them that were sitting out there, they all have been imprisoned before. They all have been beaten, maybe once, twice, in prison once, twice, three times, all of them. But when I was sitting there, they were just normal like you, you know? Couldn't tell, okay? they bear, they carry the cross with joy. So what made them able to do that? We have Indian pastors, Canadian pastors, and U.S. pastors, Chinese pastors. Yeah, pray for your pastor. Pray for your leader. When they attack, they don't go for the little goats and the little sheep. They go for the big ones, the biggest. All right? So you pray for them. And why would they do that? It's to scare the little ones. That's a tactic, okay? A psychological war. And that's what they did also in China. They clamped down a big, big church. They didn't clamp down every church. They just clamped down the biggest church. Okay? Why? Because everybody will then say, look at what happened to them. So we better behave. Okay? And that church is still clamped down. They cannot have their own place in China. And so pray. Pray for us. I have some trips coming up in 2018. But then this October, China has just come out with a new set of regulations that's going to tighten the screw on the church. Yeah. So I really don't know if next year, as planned, everything will go, you know, or we have to cancel classes. I don't know. Okay. But they're clamping down everything so that even if you have to, before they could still meet in houses, but now if you meet in houses, they still want you to first get a permission. That's one of the new rules. So we don't know what's going to happen because I have classes that are held in houses, okay, not in church or whatever, but in the houses. So then that's persecution and the lies that they spread. Do you know Syria and Iraq, all these places, around two-thirds of the Christians have left. They don't have houses to live anymore. It's because of war. And that was more a systematic way of kicking them out. Okay. So persecution, poverty, they go together. Suffering, they go together. Okay. Many of these people, they are poor. It's because they belong to Christ, and people make it hard on them. There will be at least, there are like 100 million homeless people in the world, and I'm sure some of them are the Christian migrants, okay, people who are who lost because they are part of the war, ethnic war, religious war, okay, and then there are many orphans, okay, orphans. What do you do? What do you do when somebody is persecuted and like and poor like that? Okay, let's see. It says here, prison. Here, though it talks about prison, actually, in those days, when you go to prison, it's just a preparation for you to be executed. So prison is a death sentence. Death sentence, okay? And so when it says here they are in prison, that means these are people going to die. And who is behind all of this? Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Yes, Satan and death, they go together. They want to extinguish you. But then Jesus said what? Verse 10, do not be afraid. Number one, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Okay? 10 days doesn't mean literally 10 days. It is a whole number that means only for a short period of time. It's not going to be forever. Okay, so that is the good news. Remember I said you have to learn, know how to read the times? Mm-hmm. Okay, everything is in God's control. Okay, there's a time, what? There's a time to mourn, and there's time to laugh. Okay? And there is a time. So it's not going to be forever. Stay in there. Stay in there. And there is a purpose. And one of the purposes is already stated here, to test us. Okay? And what's the purpose of testing? It is to make us stronger. To make us stronger. Okay? So we can do more. And be able to finally, okay, overcome the evil one. We want that. Go back to the verse 8, okay? It says there, Jesus introduced himself, the person who is addressing this church. He says, these are the words of him who is the first and the last. Did you notice that? He introduced himself as the first and the last. And you know why? Why? Because Smyrna always want to be the first, isn't it? Just like California always like to be the first. Did you know that just this week it happened? California is the first state to make third gender official in your application forms or whatever. The first. California might be the first in many things. And Jesus said what? Huh, I am the real first. Okay. Who am I? I'm the first. But he added something. What? I'm the last. Yeah, you may be the first. But what matters most? How you end. How you end. Will you last till the last drop? Or will you drop when the last comes? Okay. And Jesus said, I am not just the first, I am the last. He stands forever. He will not drop. And that is the most important thing. Where will you be on the last day? Okay? So don't be proud. You're first now. We'll see where you will be when the last day comes. You might be crippled. You can't even walk. So lost. Even if you want somebody to save you, you can't find the door. That's how lost you are. Okay? But he is the first and the last. And that's why he said, fear not. Focus on him. Okay? Fear not. Focus on him. Walk with me. Carry your cross. Okay? And the second one is be faithful. Be faithful and to the point of death. And why? Go back to verse 8 again. What did he say? Because I am the first and the last who died and came to life again. Don't be afraid even of death. I got that covered. I rose again. You will also live. Don't be afraid. You see, who is the most fearless people? It's a person who knows he has nothing to lose. But if you have so many cares in this world, it will be very difficult for you to be even step one step forward. So difficult for you to make a decision, okay? But if everything is, well, I gave it all to him already. Everything that's most important, nothing's. I know already from the beginning to the end, the Lord already told me what's going to happen. I know already. Then you become fearless. And then you can sit down and say, I'm going to plan my life. I know that you are young. Don't have to wait. Paul said, don't let other people look down on you because you're young. I encourage you to start dreaming and planning now. Don't wait. Okay? Don't wait until you're in college or what. Don't look down at yourself. Go ahead. Be serious. Take your life seriously. Plan now. Dream big. Nothing is impossible with God. That's actually my favorite song. You hit all the songs that I like. Yeah, and when I am down, I sing that song. And I say, nothing is impossible. Oh, with God. That's important. With God, okay? So be faithful. He rose again, okay, from the dead. I am going to live with you, and I'm this, okay? And I told Pastor Samuel already that don't just, because you already have it in your church, give it to somebody. Challenge them. Start talking about it, okay? When you talk about it, you are also talking to yourself. Okay, start dreaming. What are you going to do? Pray. And as you pray, the Lord will redirect your desire. I believe that's how God directs us. When we are praying, and then he puts it in your heart, what to pray for. Okay? So then do that. And I hope the word of God from the life, from the Smyrna, gives us, okay, the inspiration, okay, that even though we are suffering in many ways, and it will really come, okay, stand with the Smyrna Christians, May they be our example. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, because every word you say is true, and you are true, and we want to be true. Thank you for the work that you have already started in us by planting the seed in our hearts. And we pray, Lord God, that it will grow and bear fruit to bless many. In the name of Jesus, amen.